To the Section 314 podcast, and it's just been a roller coaster ride of a season with just any little medium or high expectations you had for the season. It's just like it's come and gone. And you know, statistically, you can look at the standings and say, you know, it's still early. It's, you know, it's only January. We haven't hit the break yet. But just the way we're playing right now, it's not good hockey. It's not good at all. Top players aren't performing the way they should. Goalies aren't saving shots they need to save. The game against the last few games against the Blackhawks, it's just been purely an embarrassment. Aggie and Nathan, like, what are your guys' thoughts right now? We're in the new year now. You know, the undefeated, 2026 season, it's over. We finally got our loss, and we got beaten badly by the Blackhawks. And you know, we got a little bit of time left before we hit that break. And with the Olympics and stuff like that, and like, how are you feeling so far in this season? Nathan, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. It has been very rough watching, like you said, guys that are getting paid to be top performers on this team not meet that expectation. Guys that aren't getting paid top dollar that still fulfill a role also struggle. Anytime I feel like I turn the TV on and watch the Blues play, I just leave feeling very frustrated. And that's not usually how I feel, even watching Blues games in the past when they've either gone on losing streaks or have lost games consecutively. Usually they're playing a style of hockey that is still enjoyable to watch. And just lately, I have not felt that way in regards to the product that is on the ice. And I don't think it's acceptable.
I agree with that. Going back to, you know, watching the games and saying, like, some of these games, or most of the games, are enjoyable to watch. It's fun to see these players, you know, the young players play and get their groove. Otto Stenberg got his first NHL goal last night, which is super cool. And ever since he's been called up, he's been so much fun to watch. Which kind of goes back to, like, the young guys. Like, Snuggerud and Devo have been up. And I don't know. I feel like they have great games, but I feel like sometimes they're also just kind of falling into that slump of what other players are doing. It's just the inconsistencies with this team is absolutely crazy. It doesn't even make sense. Back to the players getting paid and aren't showing up. And then we got players who make the league minimum who are, you know, showing up each night. It may not be a goal or assist or whatever, but they're at least, you know, making hits, making it known that they're there. So I don't know what's going to be coming up. I don't know if we're going to be seeing a trade. I don't know.
Yeah, it's baffling, really, especially for these veteran players and you know, people have different theories for this team, and it's super frustrating to watch. And it's like, you look at that game against not too long ago where we were in, New Year's Eve, and we were in Colorado. And I don't know if it was like the first goal or the second goal, but we were in our D zone, and we got the puck out into the neutral zone. And I don't know how it happened, but I think McKinnon or somebody, like, you know, stripped the puck. You know, it was a turnover for us, obviously. And just at full speed, once they got that puck, they stripped the puck. They were off to the races, back into our zone. And within 5 seconds of, you know, stripping the puck, they scored a goal. And if you watch the replay of the whole thing, you know, from a different camera angle and whatnot, it's like the entire team, forwards, defensemen, whatever, or our entire team just like nonchalantly getting back to our D zone. It's like, what are we doing? You know, it's, I don't know. I've grown up playing sports all my life. I've grown up playing hockey. I've grown up playing soccer. I've grown up playing this and that, you know, and it's like, no matter what it was, especially when it was a sport I loved and a sport I was good at, I was competitive. And it's like, when I lost possession of the ball, when I lost possession of the puck or whatever, I was steaming mad about it. And I would hunt you down to get that puck back, to get that ball back. And it's just, I mean, I know these guys are, you know, they say in these post-game interviews, like, we're doing the best we can. You know, we're ready to put our head down and grind. But it's just like, when we watch these games, we don't see that anymore. And it's just like, we don't see the heart. We don't see the competitiveness that you should have as a, you know, as a National Hockey League player. And it's just like, where's that fight? Where's that heart at? And especially for these young guys that are coming in, they're actually, you know, at first, like you said, Maggie, they're coming in and they're playing really well. It's like these top guys like Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, Parayko. Well, Parayko's actually been having a good season. Or not Parayko, I'm sorry, Folk. Folk's been having a good season. And then just other, you know, some of the other top players that aren't producing. It's like, what are you guys doing? It's like, what kind of example are you setting here? I don't know. It's frustrating. There's no sense of leadership and camaraderie within the locker room anymore. And it's like some people are asking, like, you know, has Doug dug himself a hole from, you know, trying to keep that playoff window open, you know, after 2019 and stuff like that, or, you know, whatever it may be? Or is it just, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Nathan?
You mentioned Justin Falk. I don't know if you would have asked, you could have asked every Blues fan in existence other than maybe Justin Falk's mom, who would be the leading goal scorer for the St. Louis Blues over halfway through the season. I don't even think she would have said her own child. The fact that he's got 11 goals and there are only two other players on the team in double digits right now, regardless of injury situations, anything like that. At this rate, there is one guy on the team who is even going to get to 20 goals, and that is an aging defenseman on the team. And so I know, especially lately, especially after the game with Chicago and Bennington giving up the 7 goals, everyone's been wanting to harp on the defense the past couple of years and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter if you can't score. No matter how good the defense is, they're still going to give up a couple goals. You're still going to have a Jordan Bennington fluke goal here and there. It's just, it's unrecognizable. And I think you're exactly right with them trying to hang on to something that is not there. I think coming out of COVID, I think the Blues organization and the team kind of overachieved. I think they were left wanting after 2019, especially how the groove that they were in prior to the COVID shutdown period. And then it just never felt the same after that in terms of the continuity within the team. And so I really, really am hoping, I don't know if a lot of people share the same sentiment as I do, but I'm looking for them to try to start selling a little bit and see if they can get some pieces together moving forward. And I don't know if there's anybody on the team that's even worth a haul.
I mean, yeah, you're happy. I mean, yeah, you have to do something because nobody's producing. I mean, Maggie, take a look at the Jets. You know, they were going up and up this big roller coaster, right, in last season. And, you know, they had that stupid goal that brought them to the second round of the playoffs. And now they're last in the Western Conference, or, you know, one of the bottom teams in the league right now, like, surprisingly below us somehow. And so it just
place.
Yeah. And it just shows you how quickly, you know, things can fall apart if you don't, you know, have the right system, the right players, what have you. And I mean, I guess it just shows you, like, you know, the Jets season last year was a fluke, but I mean, you know, it goes back to like what you said, Nathan. It's just, we have to do something because switching up the lines isn't doing it. You know, starting Hofer Moore isn't doing it. Pulling your goalies isn't doing it, and anything else really. So yeah, it's before the break, before the trade deadline. It's like, you have to do something because, I mean, yeah, we're not too far off from a playoff spot right now, but it's like, okay, is this going to be like you know, when we sell this team, is it going to be like, oh, we're going to do a playoff push? Or is it like, okay, well, let's rebuild and we'll come back next year. Right, Maggie? Like, what do you think, Maggie? What do you think Doug's approach is, Maggie, for this trade deadline?
I don't even know what to tell you because I don't even know what he's thinking most of the time, especially with, like, all these injuries lately. He went out and got these guys. You trade or you waive Texier, and then, like, the next day you sign Robbie Fabry, which I love Robbie Fabry, that's fine. And then you get a Berger from waiver. And then now you got all these people coming back from injuries. So you're going to have to make some big decisions here in the next couple of weeks, probably all the way up until, I think there's an Olympic freeze the first or second week of February. And it's like 2 or 3 weeks. So no trades can go on.
Yeah, all their locker rooms are going to be in a doghouse.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is going to be a Blues team that comes back after the Olympics like they did in the Four Nations and just starts crushing everybody, and like Bennington gets like his little swagger back. I don't know, and I'm hopeful for that because it seems like after breaks we do kind of get a little push, a little confidence. I don't know what needs to happen. Somebody in there needs to speak up and actually get the word to all these guys. I don't know, like, I keep reading even, like, people think that Monty's lost the locker room. Like, I don't even know if that's the case. I think it's a couple players who just, like, they just don't want to be there. I don't know. They're not proud to be there. They're not proud to wear the blue note. They're giving piss poor effort and showing this to these younger guys, like, is just not great because it's making them kind of laxity. I can't even speak right now. So, I mean, if I'm Doug, I think you have to pull the trigger and do like a huge trade and kind of wake up everybody and be like, be serious. Let's get our shit together and let's start playing. But I'm also hopeful for, you know, a little break, come back and just kind of start crushing everybody.
Nathan, who are you telling to pack their bags if you're Armstrong? Like, who needs to go, like, now, like, I mean, I don't know if you've, like, done these, like, scenarios in your head of, like, trading players and, you know, who would you give for them or whatever, but, like, what would be, like, ideal right now for this team to be like, okay, we got to make this move, and this is going to be a good start to get us back on track?
I don't know if this would be, because I love him as a player, and I've really enjoyed his time in St. Louis. I know that he wouldn't bring a lot of value back in a trade. I think it's got to be Shen. Just solely for the leadership in the locker room, that is going to be enough to at least change something and start some turnover. And if it's not him, and again, same way, I like watching him play. I think he's kind of been the whipping boy in St. Louis for a while, maybe even unfairly going back to the Craig Berube days. But I mean, everyone's going to look at Kyrou, right? Everyone's going to look at Kyrou with that contract in, whether or not he's producing. No one wants to have the Robert Thomas conversation. But if it's not Shen, Kyrou's the only other one that's going to raise the eyebrows. He's the only one that probably brings in anything back in return. But think about what you'd get in return now, as opposed to if that trade would have been made either in this past summer or the summer prior.
It's kind of similar to like Tarasenko. We traded Tarasenko too late, and what, we got Booch in a something or whatever, and a draft pick, which Buchnevich has been great for the Blues, so and so, but lately, you know, he hasn't been that great. But kind of going back to the Shen thing, I did not grow up like playing hockey, knowing hockey really until like the last 10 years. But what's the deal with the Blues trading the captains, naming a captain, trading the captain, naming a captain? What is the point of that? I just, like, knowing them, like, if they did trade Shen, do you think that they would go ahead and make a new captain right away, or do you think they would wait?
I think they'd leave it vacant until the offseason.
I don't know that anyone has deserved it.
Yeah, no one's really deserved it. No one's really stepped up. I mean, yeah, folks, your top goal scorer right now and whatever, but I mean, just on and off the ice, no one's really stepped in and been like, all right, guys, let's lock in and put together an NHL team out there. Because, frankly, I want to go coming, and nobody's doing it. Nobody's making any movements. You can say this, that, and the other in the locker room behind closed doors all you want. But, you know, as fans, people that watch hockey, played hockey, love this game, love this team, what have you, have seen enough that we know, like, you're not doing anything. And I'm going to a game in a few weeks, and I really just want to, and I always go down to the glass for warmups, and I really just want to, like, go down there with a big sign that says, we love you, but put 100% of your heart, you know, play with 100% heart or get off the ice.
I don't
know what needs to be said
on that sign. So
I need all those players to see that. Play with 100%.
I don't know.
Play with 100% heart or get off the ice.
Love you, bye.
Yeah, I saw today that they updated the trade rumors for the Athletic. They had Robert Thomas in there now. I think he's ranked like 11th. He's the lowest ranked. And then Justin Falk is in there, Braden Shen, Jordan Bennington, and then Jordan Kyrou. So it was just three guys. Now it's five.
I think if they get a offer that's even somewhat worth it, I think you take it just for the aspect. I know they got to meet a minimum salary cap and all that good stuff. I think that's pretty clear that this roster cannot compete for a playoff spot, let alone, and they're not like an addition or two away. They have some big issues within the team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
go ahead, Maggie.
Kind of to go back to when Nathan said that the Blues were basically broken when it came to the COVID style of hockey. Because when the Blues won the Stanley Cup in 2019, they had the same exact team, maybe some additions, maybe some people left. But that next season, before COVID hit, they would have been back-to-back champions. I will die on that hill. We literally went into the bubble play, and I think that is literally what broke the Blues, and then it went downhill. And I think Doug basically just gave us all these expectations over the last, what, 7 years? 7 years ago we won the Cup?
5, 6 years. Yeah.
He gave us all of this saying, it's a retool, it's a rebuild, it's a retool, it's a rebuild. Well, you got to make up your damn mind, because fans are getting really tired of it, and they're tired of seeing, like, the piss-poor play every night. People are staying up late watching the games. And, you know, last night, I'm glad I didn't stay up and watch the game, especially from talking to Sam this morning and seeing Twitter explode, basically, over the loss and then the memes of Binnington and Hofer and whatnot.
That's the only good thing that came out of the game last night.
Yeah. We created a meme for the world to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I go off on Twitter. But I mean, I think a lot of people don't like it on Twitter. They hate when I get all rah rah. But I mean, that's just my way of venting, whatever. And then I'll, you know, think logically an hour later. But that's just my place to vent and whatever. Just, you know, everything I tweet, just take with a grain of salt, really. But back to what you said, Maggie, about just, you know, not watching the game last night. And this goes back also to what I said before about that game against the Avalanche. From New Year's Eve. I think there are two good examples, especially against division opponents, where, you know, the Avalanche, the Blackhawks, like, what did you see in those two particular games? You know, these teams are just beating you down with pressure, taking shot after shot, not letting up. You see the players moving around a lot without the puck. They're creating space. They're creating things, you know, when they're not happening. And the Blues, it's just like a left-right, like a Pong game, basically, is what it looks like. Of players just going back and forth with the puck. And it's just like, they don't create enough pressure. They don't create enough shots. And especially on the power, you know, we had a couple power plays last night and we couldn't convert on any of them. I mean, I think we had a few good chances there where, you know, their goalie just made really good saves. But I mean, from the get-go, and we did it off the get-go, we scored right away, but we just didn't do it enough where we're just, you know, creating space, moving around without the puck, creating chaos, taking more and more shots, putting on pressure. And we just don't do that enough against teams. And it's like, when we do it, you know, we look great. We look promising. And like 90% of the time we get the win. But when, you know, teams start doing it against us, our heads just fall off and we get our head kicked in and we lose by a huge margin.
Yeah. It's like the Blues players are stunned that teams are doing this to them. And I'm like, this is the same thing every day, every night, every other night. Whatever. And the thing that bothers me the most is, how can the Blues win back to back but cannot win, you know, and they have a rest day and then play, rest day, play, but on a back to back,
is it against, complacent?
I don't know, against a good Vegas team, which that was a comeback, wasn't it? Or were we winning? I think we tied, actually. I'm getting the games confused. And then next day you play a Montreal team that's hot, that's number 7 in the league. Young, talented. You got Sammy Blais, Texier, Bolduc on Canadiens. They want to get their revenge from the Blues. And Blues come out with a win, 2-0. So, I mean, make it make sense. How are the Blues playing back-to-back nights and winning back-to-back nights, but can rest for not play a game for 3 days and then get their ass kicked by the Blackhawks? And they got back-to-back this weekend in Utah and Vegas.
What do you think, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is something about like staying locked in whenever you don't have those instances of, you know, maybe it's whether it's a travel day and like what we just had a pretty decent homestand leading into, you know, going on the road and getting ready to go out west and so on and so forth. There's definitely seems to be some sort of, I don't know if it's like physical preparations for the games. I'm not going to speak on that because I have no clue. But I think there definitely is some mental aspects and maybe some maturity that needs to happen in order for them to be able to be at least more consistent. I know that there's a skill issue within the team that's clear to see whenever you watch them and they can't possess the puck. I mean, they've got the worst goal differential in the entire league, and that doesn't just happen by chance, right? But yeah, it's something has to happen. Something needs to change because this team just does not have it. Does not have it at all.
Yeah, I think we need to move some players around, get rid of some people before this trade deadline. Because you know, frankly, I just don't care anymore, and I don't. No, like if we got rid of like our star player or whatever, like I really wouldn't care. I care more about putting a great hockey team on the ice. For this city, that's what I care most about, and winning just in general, because I'm highly competitive like that. And I just think we need to, yeah, like you said, we need to shake things up, like in our, maybe not at home so much, because you know everybody's coming from their houses and stuff, but like on the road, it's like we need to create some sort of like new, you know, preparation towards like away games, like when they're at the hotel or when they get to the rink, like just do something new, like do something together as a team, and or, you know, do something together as a team outside of the, you know, games when you're at home in St. Louis or something. I don't know. It's just like, I did this last season, but I'll do it again, you know, tonight, where it's like, I compare like my football team, the New Orleans Saints. The Saints were bad this year. If you watch the NFL this season, the Saints were bad. But towards the end of the season, yeah, they had a weak schedule. But, you know, when you look at that team and you see like players' Instagrams and their tweets and whatever, the locker room vibes were so high in that locker room. Once they got, you know, once they, you know, shifted some things toward like in the middle of their season, just everything changed. Once they like, you know, made some tweaks in the team and they brought in like a new coach, a new starting quarterback, just the vibes in the locker room and the camaraderie and the chemistry in the locker room, it just changed everything. And even like in post-game interviews, the players were saying like, you know, everything's, you know, sunshine and rainbows. We love it here. We love being here. We love the direction this team's going in. And, you know, they get a bunch of wins towards the end of the season. Now, granted, they finished 6-11, but that's a great, you know, stepping stone for that team for next year, because it's just, I think it just goes back to, you know, creating a good atmosphere in the locker room, creating good chemistry with the right players. And from there, it's just going to bring the best skill from those players. And that's what the Blues need. And it's just some of the skills there and some of the skills not. And there's, and on top of that, there's no chemistry. So it's like, you really just, you need to start getting rid of players and selling like crazy, because, you know, tweaking here or there, it's not enough for this team. Like Doug thinks it is. We just got to start from scratch. I feel like, and build a good solid base for next season before it's too late.
I know there's probably not a lot of correlation between football and hockey, right? But you're talking about management within a team. And you bring up the Saints. You go from Spencer Rattler, who started a lot last year at quarterback, started this year, continued to be unsuccessful, didn't show growth. What did they do? They put in Tyler Shuck, guy around the same age, not a lot of experience. He goes out there and he performs pretty well. They win a couple more games. Alvin Kamara gets hurt. Next man up, Kendre Miller. He looked great for the game or two that he was out there. He got hurt. Chris Olave still showing you something, right? You've got pieces there that can contribute on a winning team, but they also learned this year that they might have a quarterback for next year and for the future. And they also learned who they can and cannot rely on. And if anything, that needs to be
three too. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. If any, Neil, right?
Edeme.
And yeah. So it's just like, there's a lot of different things that the Blues can take in a same example as that, to where, you know, you look and you kind of just use this as a learning year, not necessarily for the players themselves, but who can we rely on? Who can't we rely on? Who needs to go? Who should maybe stay? I'm 100% here for a 100% rebuild. I'm not talking about moving on from everyone, but if you're going to blow it up, blow it up, stop doing this in between stuff of, oh, we want to retool, but then not getting anyone that's actually able to contribute on a level that's going to push this team forward.
This is a toxic relationship between the city of St. Louis and the St. Louis Blues and the St. Louis Blues fans. And the St. Louis Blues fans are for an ultimatum. Come on, Doug, do the right thing. Somebody call her real quick. See if she's there.
All good.
Has been forwarded to voicemail.
I went straight to voicemail.
Gone forever. Not to be forgotten. Reconnecting.
Hey, you good?
Hello?
Yeah, you good?
This thing, like, froze.
Jeez.
Recording?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'll be able to fix this.
Yeah, we got you. We got you on my mic right now so that you can still be recording and stuff.
Hello?
There we go.
That's, like, triple boxed. There we go.
She's, like, time traveled from my phone to the iPad.
Yeah. Hooray.
But you were saying, Nathan, about, you know, just like rebuilding the team from scratch. Oh, yeah. I said that Doug needs to do the right thing and, you know, give these players ultimatums that, you know, he's ready to sell. You know, start performing or, you know, we're going to dump you in the Mississippi River.
With the arch. Dump you with the arch.
We're going to put you in an emo's box and dump you down the Mississippi River.
I mean, if anything, he should not be worried about, you know, any sort of long-lasting friendships, especially with this being his last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do what you want to do.
I know. It's like, at first it seemed, you know, a year or two ago, it seemed like, you know, he was doing the right things to set up Steen for success, and this team has just gone absolutely nowhere. You know, sometimes that just happens, and it's not his fault, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, okay, well, you know, it's crunch time now. The team sucks. No one's performing. You got to do something. You got to start making some calls and doing the right things so that, you know, Steen can take the reins and take it to the promised land.
This really is looking like the St. Louis Cardinals season. Like, Cardinals are awful. They have, you know, Mo. It's Mo's last season. It's Doug's last season. It's going to, you know, you're going into Heim Bloom rebuild, and then I think we're gonna go in Alexander Steen rebuild. Like, I'm hopeful for all that, but it just sucks right now, especially, like, you know, just coming off that playoff run against Winnipeg last year, and, you know, like, the thrill of running their goalie out of games and stuff, and then just coming to this and you're like, what the hell happened? And I don't know that anyone can really explain, but the players aren't, I mean, they say the same thing every night. You know, what you said earlier, Sam, we're going to dig deep and, you know, we'll get the habits down, blah, blah, blah.
We know what we got to do. Put our head down and, you know, work hard, show up to sit teen and crack some skulls and have a couple of brewskis and get back out there, boys.
It's the same interview every night. Literally, like, the only person who is, I think, proud to be a Blues player is Torpochenko, which he said that the other night. He said, new year, new us. Kept saying, happy new year. He just signed a decent contract for himself. I'm not mad about it because he shows up, he throws his body on the line pretty much every night. I know he's not a big scorer. He's not a, you know, he doesn't have a bunch of assists, but you can tell that he's out there almost every night. He's just a good guy.
Next time people walk by Enterprise Center, there needs to be missing posters on the side of the building, and it's Robert Thomas's face and Kyra's face and probably others, but yeah.
This is our crash out episode because all it has been is sadness, negativity, kind of, and then some positivity, kind of, but more of just fans being fans who are loyal to this team.
Yeah, what is it called? Union Station. They need to get rid of the aquarium and put a rage room in there for Blues fans after the game.
Have you guys talked about the fact that this downfall might be directly correlated with Wheelhouse closing?
Well, I heard about Wheelhouse closing. Yeah, but
I mean, it's just a thought. It's just a thought.
That's a good, I like that. I like that theory a lot, actually. We can blame it on Wheelhouse.
No, I blame it on FanDuel Sports Network for getting rid of Jim Kelly. It's like, once that happened, then it's like, you know, things were hit or miss for this team, but it's like, once they got rid of John Kelly, you know, the ship started sinking.
It's the curse. It's the JK curse.
Well, and to continue on the FanDuel Sports Network train, I'm sure you guys saw the Cardinal news today.
Yeah, it's like something went down where like somebody didn't pay, or I guess what was
FanDuel Main Street Sports
didn't play.
Main Street Sports Group runs and operates the FanDuel Sports Network with the RSNs. There were like 9 teams that they missed their payment on. And so those teams, I think, all collectively pretty much ended their deal. Now, it doesn't mean that they won't go right back to it on a new deal, but it also protects the teams from that company going into another bankruptcy and allows them to see out options for potentially like their own sort of broadcasting network, or if they just want the league to have the broadcasting rights, which I can't say that I'm super upset about, because even the quality of watching it, like whether you're watching it on like DirecTV, or because I think that's really about all that you can, other unless you're watching it on like what some of the other streaming sites and whatnot. I know it's not easily accessible unless you pay for like the app and whatnot, but even that app, it's long been needed an overhaul. So if I can watch the Cardinals and the Blues on something else down the road, I'm more than happy.
Yeah, I've been having problems with FanDuel Sports Network for Blues and Cardinals games, because I'll be watching it, or I guess you could say streaming it on my TV, and it's like for both teams, you know, whatever season it is, it's like I'll be watching everything like fine and dandy for like the first like, I don't know, 15-20 minutes, and then like the audio is like still live, but then like the video quality is like becomes slow motion, like delayed, and I'm like, what the hell is happening?
I always think that that's like my connection, even though at my house I never have connection issues with literally anything else, but then I'll like try to pull it up on my phone, no problem, and then it starts doing that again, and or like you said, with the audio on track and the video delayed, or I'll just be watching it and I don't know if it's something to deal with like whenever they go to ad or whatnot, but I'll just get stuck in an ad cycle, and before I realize it's been 10 minutes, I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'll leave it, enter back in, and it's the middle of an inning, or they've been on the ice for 2 minutes.
It's just, yeah, I tweeted earlier, I said that, you know, we just need to have like our own media, you know, take that studio that they had, it's already built, it's already ready to go at Ballpark Village, and just create our own local St. Louis sports station, and just, you know, boot it right there out of Ballpark Village in central downtown St. Louis. It's like, you can't get any better than that.
I think it's all a scam. I was talking about football today, and like all the games this coming weekend are on all different streaming services, and it's ridiculous. You gotta have Amazon, you have to have Peacock, Fox, CBS, ESPN.
Yeah, what I've been doing, and obviously I can't do this for sports. I need to find a way how. But I've been, you know, on my Apple TV, on my Apple phone, I have, you know, I go and look at movies I want to buy where I'm like, oh, you know what? This movie's not on the streaming service anymore, but I want to buy it so I can have it. And I've noticed that like at different, you know, the prices are like, they're pretty often changing. And I wait for movies I want to buy on Apple TV. I wait for it to get to $4.99. And I just, you know, build up my library of movies and or TV shows, you know, when especially like around the holiday season when those prices go down and they're on sale and stuff. And I'm just building up my library so that eventually I can just cut out that streaming service that has all those movies and shows. So I don't have to worry about a subscription anymore. I wait till those prices drop, pay those low rates, just, you know, roll with the punches, you know, for all these movies and shows. And then eventually I'm just going to save money over time so I don't have to pay all these stupid streaming services anymore.
Honestly, I'm glad you said all that, because then anyone who's listening to the podcast can get these life hacks from you.
Exactly. Now I got to still figure out sports, but I'll get back to you guys if I'm not killed yet.
FCC's coming after you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't talk about those matey streaming sites.
Yeah, I worked with a girl not too long ago. She was dating an NFL player, and she showed me like all these sites where it's like, yeah, you just watch all these NFL games for free. I'm not going to say the sites right here, but
yeah, you just got to sail the high seas.
Yeah, and she showed me all these sites. Yeah, you just watch all the NFL games for free. She's like, some of them act wonky and, you know, pop up ads and stuff like that, but just close out of them, you're set. And I'm like, sick.
Don't tell us, because I don't want to get banned from the podcast, because I'm already banned on Facebook Marketplace right now. I don't need another
graphic. Oh, what?
Scammer.
We'll
talk about it. You're we'll a talk scammer.
About it,
yeah, about the only thing that I'll end up paying for.
She like, tried, she I tried selling her Blues tickets, and the entire city erupted.
It's like that meme of like, oh no, my car window got jacked. Someone broke in it and they just left two more Blues tickets in my seat. Yeah, about the only thing that I'll pay for sports-wise right now is just because I just consume so much football. I don't mind paying for NFL Sunday ticket. Do I wish it was cheaper? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's...
I'm able to have it on as many different TVs on at the same time as I want on my phone. In-laws, if they want to watch it 20 miles away, they can go for it. You know what I mean? So
that's what my brother and I did this year. So I had NFL Sunday ticket last year. Well, I bought NFL Sunday ticket last year, and I split it with my brother, and that was fine and dandy. And then this year, I was like, all right, well, let's renew it. Let's renew Sunday ticket. And then my parents and I, we got this email from like YouTube TV or whatever, the NFL. And they're like, oh, like, you know, if you're going to, you know, subscribe to the NFL for NFL Sunday ticket for the first time, if you're a first time NFL Sunday ticket buyer, we're giving you a discount on, you know, NFL Sunday ticket. And it was like, going to be like eventually like a couple hundred bucks cheaper than what I would have paid for my second season. And I'm like, well, what the hell? Like, I'm a returning customer and you're just going to dink me like that. I'm like, that's dumb. So then I had my brother making a, you know, YouTube account and just went through him so we could save a couple hundred bucks.
All you got to do is make a new Gmail account and get that discount.
Yeah, and then we just, and then they, we just they split do it. Yeah. And then we just split it. So like, I'm only paying like 14 bucks a month. So it was right. A steal.
And like, if you've got someone in your family that, I mean, these are all just life hacks, people. If you got someone in your family that is currently a college student, they do a student U version of Sunday ticket and you can get it for about $100 for the entire season. But
oh, that's a steal.
Caveat, you can only watch on one device at any given time. For me, that wouldn't work. But for most people, that probably would, especially if you want to watch your team out of market. But for me, who has to consume every single game at any given moment, for non-gambling purposes, of course, but yeah, you gotta pony up and pay the big bucks.
But for non-gambling, side note, Morgan, he's not gambling.
I'm not, just, but I did win my fantasy league this year.
Nice.
We'll take it.
So you just paid yourself.
I did, and some, and other people did as well.
So you beat Scoob.
I did beat Scoob. Scoob, if you're out there listening to this, I'm sorry. The kid, poor guy, this is his third time finishing second in the league in 8 seasons. He went 11-2, broke just about every league record in terms of scoring and all play, and lost by, he was going into the final game on Monday Night Football, Falcons, and he had Drake London. And for other Drake London enjoyers, I know that he put up a week 17 performance coming off a PCL injury of 1.4 in PPR format. So that 10-point lead that I had going into Monday Night Football held on. So thank you, Drake London. Sorry, Scoob. Love you.
Congrats on your marriage.
Did you guys have anything else to add before we get out of here? I think we pretty much covered it all this time around.
We just needed our crash out and then your life hacks about football and then football.
We're good. Yeah. Go Bills. Go Blues.
Yeah. Go Bird. Go Blues.
But thank you, Nathan, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, it's fun, guys. I appreciate it.
Taking the time to record. You know, if you're listening, send this to your friends, send this to your Blues fans. Let them know it's going to be okay. At the end of the day, we're still going to be here for you guys. Section 314 Podcast, we appreciate you guys listening. And until the ice is clean again, we'll see y'all next time.